Welcome to the S Words Podcast, roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects, beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Dominic Mitten.
I'm Speak.
As am I.
Neither of you are Speak. Say your real names.
Well, I'm Speak.
We have John Condon and Governor Schwarzenegger. How are you, Governor Schwarzenegger?
Come with me if you want to live.
All right, that's Danny Sue the Varicon. You guys know these guys already. Let's go to this week's court topic. Oh my god, I'm mixing my podcasts here. Let's go into this week's S word, and it is Sailor Moon. I know that people have been waiting for this one. So for this topic, we made sure we got all the right representatives here. These are all guys talking about Sailor Moon.
And Miho's here, but she doesn't want to talk.
She's our fact checker, because we're going to get so many things wrong.
Well, hopefully we keep saying enough things wrong that she'll just yell at us, and we'll have captured the Miho sound.
I think what she'll do instead is just bite Danny on the head if we get something wrong.
That's just as good. All right, so let's go into the first question we usually like to ask everyone. What was the first time you saw Sailor Moon?
The first time I saw Sailor Moon was in an anime club, I think, and it was one of the random movies, and I'm like, what's going on? Why is this gay? Because this was in my phase of, you know, being 13. I was like, I want to see robots. A bunch of other robots. Maybe with blood coming out of the robots. Because robots should have blood.
So, I know, John. He didn't want to see girls. He wanted to see
Eva
robots.
Eva is your fault.
What?
So Eva is your fault then.
No. Eva is totally not my fault.
No, Eva has girls in it. Pick something that has absolutely no girls and just robots.
Well, Chief Guy J.
It has a girl.
It has a girl. But it is mostly between a very feminist-looking, like, skinny guy and a gigantic, big, rough-looking
robot
bear man.
I want to make a man.
A manly
man. He's a manly man. So I made him a robot.
To be more than a man. Yeah, see?
Skipped over, like, anime girls in short skirts that you might have seen for the first time versus...
Oh, no. You see, robots. The thing is, for that, I went straight to Bastard.
Oh.
That explains so much.
Yeah, they don't even wear clothes in that.
No. And I helped translate the ending song for some people. It was awesome.
That's a little terrifying in its own way.
Hey, this episode started off really well. What about you, John?
I must have watched it when I was around 13 myself. And it was shown on cable, I guess, or was it actually this basic TV? I think it was actually basic.
They showed it on network TV in LA, which is when I saw it.
Yeah, network TV, yeah.
Let's see here.
And it was the American dub version of it, so there wasn't any kind of, you know, Usagi and all this other stuff. You know, it's all Serena, Amy, Ray.
Well, her name actually is Amy.
Examples.
And Ray is also her real name.
Those are actually both their real names.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe those aren't the best examples. But they had Lita, and they had...
Damien.
Wait, they had Lita?
Yeah, Lita. She's Jupiter.
Are you sure?
Her name is Lita.
Yes.
Lita.
Whoa.
Yes.
Jupiter. I remember that.
If anyone's gonna know more about Sailor Moon than they really should, it's the two of us.
Whoa, I did not know that. Now I can make fun of Lita for that.
Because remember Lita. Lita should be... what is it? Was it Sleeping Beauty or was it Cinderella? Or for having the biggest talents?
Oh, well, that was Cinderella.
I should be Cinderella because I have the most talent, which was a censored translation of "I've got the biggest boobs."
I should be Cinderella. Biggest boobs, and she points. Right
and then everyone, breasts. And then everyone just looks, and everyone just glares at her for some reason, and we never understood why until we figured out what the original translation was.
She makes it pretty, blatant about it. She points right to her chest. I've got the most talent.
She's just pointing at herself.
She pushes out her chest. If I'm...
She could just mean that she has the most heart.
She just wanted to point out her T-shirt, which said "Home for Infinite Losers."
What? I was like, "Is that stand for something?"
Hiffle.
Hiffle.
Don't you remember that from the Dragon Ball censored dub where it was
the
hell?
The two demons who are wearing shirts that say hell on it. Except they don't say hell on it. They say
H-F-I-L.
Yes.
You've gone to another dimension.
Okay, guys.
As you can tell.
So anyway, John, just for fact-checking purposes, the first episodes of Sailor Moon in the U.S. aired in 1995. So,
yeah. Wow, yeah, that's about right.
So yeah, I'm 12, 13 at that time, yeah. It was good times. I mean, it was sort of one of those guilty pleasures. He always had the, you know, he's sitting there. And,
it's one of those shows.
Who's in the moon? Oh, God, Mom, you know, go away, brother. Get out of here.
I don't want people to know I watch this.
Yeah. Very. I would flip the channels away if anybody walked in. I'm like, I'm not watching that. I'm watching, you know, C-SPAN.
Yes, because C-SPAN is so much better for a growing boy to watch.
But yeah, I had a similar experience. It was actually on in like really stupidly early in the morning.
My parents were mostly just glad I was looking at girls.
Well, given your initial reaction to it, yeah.
Girls, wow, where's the robots and the guys?
That one's huge.
So big. Look at the size of that drill.
It's hard.
And it's coming to get you.
Ah, drill master. I know. Anyways, I had the exact same thing, too. Actually, the thing that was interesting was that I liked Power Rangers for a while. I was, like, fourth and fifth grade for me. And that was at the time when even when you were that old and you were like, Power Rangers, I just won't tell anyone I watch it. But I still do. And then I had always read, like, the next big thing, like, after Power Rangers was supposed to be the Sailor Moon thing. Yeah. So I checked it out. And I was like, I guess it's okay. I mean, I was about, I was 12 or 13 around that time, so the hormones were starting to kick in. And you're I guess I could watch, you know, girls in short skirts running around defeating evil.
Yeah.
That's pretty much.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I know. It's a regular boy growing up with his cartoons.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yay, Miho's disturbed. She really wants to say something, but she's just going to bite Danny. Yay! Ow. Let it be known that the new record for Miho biting Danny is 7 minutes and 40 seconds into the show.
Miho, talk! Seriously!
One of these days, I'm going to get bitten for something I actually say.
You guys keep referring to this Miho person. Who are you talking about?
Oh, you see that pillow in the corner?
With a little picture on it.
You suck, man.
Ah, hug pillow marriage. This is all Dom's fault.
It's legal in Japan.
No, it's not legal.
Pretty soon you can rent the hug pillows out.
There's a petition for that to happen, Judd. It's a petition for it to be legal.
I have a microphone cable here to strangle you all, so just letting you know.
Yeah, but it's already tangled up, and it's going to be too much effort to untangle it.
He's got a point.
I'll just have to settle for your nice tangle-proof back power.
No, don't do that. All right, so let's go to the next topic. So,
wait, Danny, did you actually talk about? Oh, yeah, you watched it in the mornings. Okay, yeah. Well, I forgot it in the excitement. Miho, when did you watch Sailor Moon?
Yeah, that's the thing.
She's gonna beat you with it.
She's just pretending to talk now.
She actually read it first.
Yeah. For some reason, I was able to watch it in the afternoons, so I'm not sure if I actually got able to.
Well, it was
soon enough. And ran down there, or if they also had the tendency of showing like an episode at this like original time, and then they would show an older episode later.
Yeah, that got confusing to me.
Yeah, well, but it allowed me to actually watch it, you know, without this 6 a.m. 2 p.m. showing time that they had.
True. Yeah, they had it out on 2:30 for me, so which was like you never got to see it because
except on like Fridays when we were out of school early. I was out of school early on Fridays.
No, it was always 3 o'clock for me, so I really didn't get to see much of it.
It had some very odd hours.
I always cut the tail end of episodes.
Oh, you mean the
Sailor Says part in the fight?
The Sailor Says?
That's what makes it educational.
That is what make it educational programming.
It worked for G.I. Joe. Why would you put the Sailor Moon?
So, Miho's confused, and we will have to explain to her that network television in the United States has a requirement that it has to have a certain amount of educational programming every day. Now, cartoons count if there is a little 30-second educational short at the end that says such wonderful things like, let's see, G.I. Joe's were...
Don't do drugs.
Don't drink with sharks. Don't drink your parents' booze. Don't play with live wires.
Yes.
Don't burn the grilled cheese. Cut your
pork chop sandwiches.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Play with your family.
But anyway, so the thing is, Miho, that at the end of Sailor Moon, they had to insert a moral at the end. So, like, what have we learned today? Well, Sailor says, you know, and then it was just some sort of lesson.
Yeah, something that was basically just put together.
Yeah. And as long as you did that, the entire show counted as educational programming.
Yep.
So they could get away with showing it.
Some kind of bureaucracy kind of thing. It went through the second arc, during the Dark Moon family, 40 episodes of it. You know, I don't remember any of it. I remember I remember a lot of the G.I. Joes.
I'm sure we can, like, YouTube up Sailor Says.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely YouTube Sailor Says with no problems. I
mean, real ones?
Yes, real ones. I don't think anyone actually made fake ones.
There's actual DVD rips off of that. I'm not...
They put it on
we should DVD cut that part DVD? Out.
They put it on the DVD?
Yeah, it's on the DVD. Yeah, it's on the DVDs. They have the old edited ones that are on DVD as well.
Wow.
Okay. It was ADV that put those out for a while, too.
It just seems a little bit, you know, unnecessary.
Well, some people want the version as they saw it sometimes.
Okay, I can understand that.
But then let's talk about this, though. There was a whole impact about this. This was the first standing out mainstream anime that was on U.S. Children's Afternoon Programming.
Oh, yeah.
We had Dragon Ball, right?
Dragon Ball was later, I think.
It was later? It was just all other countries that got Dragon Ball. Yeah,
everybody got Dragon Ball because it was Dragon Ball.
Yeah. America needed enough time to go through every single one of those screens to change Hell into Hiffle. So we got a little bit
and,
later.
And, you know, add underwear onto Goku at appropriate times.
Oh, yeah, add underwear. And, you know.
Yes.
Well, Dragon Ball, the original, came after Dragon Ball Z, if I remember correctly.
That aired in the United States,
I think Dragon Ball aired first.
They might have had, like, just a really, really ghetto run of...
I remember watching Dragon Ball first.
I've never seen Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z or any of that on American television.
I just remember Goku as a kid and then, like, the pig running around and all that stuff, yeah.
Well, the pig's in Dragon Ball Z, too.
Well, yeah, but I remember Goku as a kid.
Well, I remember the specific order of it because I remember, like, seeing the beginnings of Dragon Ball Z and going, wait, why are they just jumping everywhere? Where's the cloud? Why can't he ride the cloud anymore? And then I found out why he couldn't ride the cloud anymore and was depressed.
I don't remember that.
Because a cloud is made of water, basically, and you just go right through it like real clouds.
Yeah.
You're such a liar.
Hey, science doesn't lie. But he also has an extending stick.
He does.
Anyway, let's talk about... So this was the first kind of mainstream anime show that was being broadcast in the United States. Did it really have much of an impact in bringing over more, or was it just that it sort of converted a lot more people towards that whole underground anime fan subs kind of?
No, it didn't convert more people to the underground thing. It was a proof of concept. It was successful on television.
Yeah. It was the gateway, you know, series.
People said, hey, we can make money off of this. Yeah. And when people go, hey, we can make money off of this, bam, the gates open.
What came after it, though?
Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Z. Or Dragon Ball.
Oh, okay. So it did.
Because the thing is, the Funimation of the company was formed in 1994.
Oh, so they were just starting then. Okay.
Ronin Warriors.
Yeah, Ronin Warriors was there.
Samurai Pizza Cats.
I have to look up what year Ronin Warriors that was, actually. I remember Ronin Warriors in high school,
too.
Yeah,
Ronin Warriors, I remember that, but I don't remember anyone watched it.
I watched it.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I knew.
the problem with, like, both Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, and Ronin Warriors is that whoever broadcasted it, they would broadcast up to a certain episode, find out that they don't have the next episode, and they go back to the beginning again. So you had a lot of these reruns happening, and, you know.
Yeah, I got really familiar with the plot.
Yeah. It, for Ronin Warriors, it...
It just wasn't enough.
Yeah, it didn't really hold you because they were doing it too often.
Okay, all right. Wait, what was Ronin Warriors in Japan? Was it also just...
Yoroiden Samurai Troopers.
For you guys, did it actually lead you to anything, like, after having seen Sailor Moon, or did you actually know about anime beforehand, or...
I knew about anime beforehand. I think I've told you guys the story of how I got into anime. It involved Devil Hunter Yoko and getting kicked out of the room. It's like, I'm missing something good!
That's awesome. Because I didn't get kicked out of the room. My mom actually rented it for me.
Oh, nice.
Good job.
Very nice.
But,
Yeah, Ronin... Sorry.
Before Sailor Moon, you could still find anime at the video rental stores. So that's how I found it. You know, they were just random ones. Twilight of Cockroaches, Amnesia, Wind Called Amnesia.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
was it the Robot, no, not Robot Carnival. There was some other ones. Rama One Half, I think, was out.
El Hazard.
Yeah.
I have fond memories of El Hazard.
Yeah, there was quite a few of them. I mean, they basically OVAs or maybe one or two of the first episode, but they were out.
Come to think of it, I think Sailor Moon was the first one that I saw. Mostly because, yeah, we had the same, I had the same setup. They're, you know, they had them at the video store, but they always had those little stickers on it that said, "Hey, you, not for little kids."
And so,
you know, my parents being really, really paranoid about that sort of stuff went, "No!"
So yeah, I've been looking up the timeline here. So Sailor Moon was 1995. Ronin Warriors was also 1995. Dragon Ball Z was 1996.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was.
Dragon Ball was in like 2001.
No, there must be somebody else who had the rights to Dragon Ball prior.
Did
you watch it on the Asian channel? Because I used to watch Dragon Ball Z on the Asian channel.
I did too.
I didn't understand what
I watched Urusei Yatsura on public television.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, Dragon Ball Z, they were showing it on the Asian channel in America.
I think I originally saw Dragon Ball Z in Tagalog, actually.
Wait, Tagalog? Not Thai?
Pep Thai.
Sure, why not? I see Dragon Ball all the time on TV in Spanish, so who cares? Why not?
I remember playing the Dragon Ball Z Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Before I even know what the anime was.
Okay, that's kind of silly.
But it was a fun game. I like that. It was.
Try playing against Mal. We'll never win a Fireball War.
Oh, yeah. The Fireball War. That's what I like. You do a Kamehameha, you shoot back and forth, and you can just repeat going back and forth on it.
Unless you're playing as Mal, in which case you just lose because he mashes buttons
ready
faster.
For it to come at you because they're never going to win that fight.
Okay.
So anyway, back to Sailor Moon.
Yeah, it didn't really get me into any anything else in anime. I didn't get into anime until like much like later in my high school years. So it didn't really do much for me. It was fine. I remember I watched a couple, but I didn't see. Like I said, I don't even remember most of the names. I do remember, like, Serena, because the cat was always going, Serena!
Yeah, Luna, yeah, goddamn cat.
But then, like,
retarded cat.
Here's something that was interesting about that show, was that this was one of the first few shows that was very girl power oriented, and it was the first kind of more like girls weren't just going around, like, playing house.
I would like to point out now that did you ever see the original Saban treatment for the live-action Sailor Moon thing?
The
Saban one.
Saban did a treatment.
He did a treatment.
All of the
there is a girl in a wheelchair in it.
Wait. This was not based on a Japanese source.
No, it was them making their own thing. Adaptation attempt.
It was them trying to make it American, a U.S. version.
The lasting image of this
is a girl in a wheelchair turning into a sailor.
It's from the little animated portion of it that they had added onto it. Where they had this weird Sailor Moon equivalent, who was, if I remember correctly...
How did you guys ever see this?
Oh, it went around a long time ago. I showed it to you guys a while before.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube now.
It's a pilot, right?
No, it wasn't a pilot. It was a trailer.
Yeah. Oh.
It was like a treatment of a trailer, kind of thing.
It's a sales trailer. They were trying to show it to get, say, hey, what do you guys think of this? Maybe we could do it. But what they did, instead of being, crime fighters, fighting monsters and stuff, they sailed on windsurfers.
What? Yeah,
windsurfers.
Really?
In out in space. It was very odd.
All right. Quick YouTube break, guys. Let's go see this thing because we need to.
No.
Okay, I'm pausing now.
Okay.
YouTube break.
Okay, we're back from the YouTube break. Wow, dumb.
I told you. I told you what would happen when you saw that.
Sailor Moon Saban promo.
I'm still kind of like, hey, they could have released it and it probably might have still done something for them.
No.
Yeah, maybe. It would have done something, all right.
It would have, like,
that's very
so bad.
Different than what I thought it was going to be. I didn't know that when they transformed, they were going to become cartoons.
Yeah. They would transform into cartoons, and they would windsurf in space.
And fight evil.
And fight evil with laser shooting wheelchairs.
And not kill anything, just knock it over.
Yes. I don't understand why when she transforms, she can't just go back, she can't walk. She has to still be in a wheelchair. That's...
Because it's a super-powered wheelchair.
Yes.
She's like Professor X.
She can't shoot the lasers from her hands like everyone else. No. It has to come from the wheelchair.
Of course.
Does that teach children?
Well, because the wheelchair is empowering.
Yeah. She's very PC.
Oh, the wheelchair empowers her.
Yeah.
I got it. It's like part of her, so yeah. She's like a cyborg.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Do you remember growing up at that time?
I grew up in the time of the extreme... I grew up in the real Ghostbusters, and then the extreme Ghostbusters, in which you have a black male, a white male on a wheelchair,
yeah.
A Hispanic male,
yeah.
And a female Asian.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I don't think they ever really established what her ethnicity was.
I thought she was always supposed to be kind of Asian.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is that we had a lot of kind of Asian. Remember Super Friends?
Yeah.
But you don't remember Water from Captain Planet?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. She didn't have the obvious accent.
Oh, that that's right.
Like, say, the Hispanic
accent guy
did.
Yes,
or the black guy.
Don't you love how in Extreme Ghostbusters every haunted house has a wheelchair ramp?
that's just right. The code, man.
Nightboat.
There's always an outlet or a stream or river.
Fjord.
Well, then let me ask you about, so going back to the topic of introducing feminism and girl power in a lot of new U.S. children's programming, was Sailor Moon kind of like one of those first few ones? Because as you can see, like, what's been happening with Hollywood in the past, let's say, like, 10 years, we've been getting more and more of the concept of the strong female action star, because, first of all, you get the female audiences that, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, she kicks ass and takes names, and then you get the guys that are like, yeah, she kicks ass and takes names,
no, and she kicks high hot. And takes
yes,
names.
I'm sorry. And she's...
Well,
she's
also,
hot
by the
everything.
Guys, you mean Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yes.
Who, didn't he marry her?
Yes, Mila, he did.
Yeah. That was recent, right?
I think it was a while ago.
They've been in a relationship for a while.
Yeah. Do you remember The Messenger, the one about Joan of Arc?
Vaguely, yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, they were together since then, I know that.
Oh, okay.
But, so, like, was it the first kind of one that introduced that, hey, you know, guys can like these kind of girly-ish things, too, as long as...
That's the thing.
Well, here's the thing.
Nobody ever admitted to it.
Except for the bare naked ladies.
Right. That's when it became safe to actually talk about it.
And that was
talk about Sailor Moon.
Yes,
just because they were in the song.
Well, yeah. they actually made it public.
Well, what happened was, they were willing to talk about it, and everybody who smiled when they heard that line, you just sort of look around and go,
Oh, okay.
So this was like that secret shame for dudes. Then.
Yes, totally.
But it's not even, it wasn't a secret shame, it was just secret. Because you weren't ashamed of it necessarily.
Well, then why didn't you tell anyone?
I'll have to, deny you on that, man. there was a bit of shame,
but it was more like, I don't have anybody to talk about this with, so I'm just not going
to. That was not it either.
That was totally it for me, but I was already totally in the nerd culture there, so
okay,
it was like, we could like Gundam. We could like, you know. Devil
awesome.
Man and
this
Bastard and stuff,
awesome.
And it's like,
awesome.
Oh yeah, Sailor Moon exists. Cool.
Yeah. For me, I was much aware that I'm not supposed to like this. That's what, when I was growing up, that was the, like, my unconscious thought, and that's why I didn't talk to anybody about it, and I was thinking about it when we were, like, you know, when I learned about this whole subject. It is the first time that I've had, like, a kind of media shown to me of strong women, and I think subconsciously at that point, it wasn't something that I thought that was should be approved of, which I, you know, consciously I am all for it, but at the time it was like, this is weird. You know, I like it, but this is weird. I probably shouldn't tell anybody about it either. That's how it was when I was growing up.
Pretty much sums up my experience too.
Did I tell you guys about the whole
yeah,
the classroom, right?
Classroom.
Yeah.
And everyone wanted to watch Sailor Moon, but not actually say they wanted to.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when people, like, everybody in the whole room, we would, you know, click through the channels, go on Sailor Moon, take, talk a little bit of trash on it, click through it, go back to Sailor Moon, and everybody shuts up and then just watches it. And, you know, that's how it was. And I mean, everybody was talking trash about it the first time through. And then, you know, everybody shuts up and watches it. That's how it was here in the States.
So one thing that's really interesting about Sailor Moon is it came out around a time when the world was changing for a lot of youths, in which we were starting to use the internet. Internet, yes.
Internet.
And, you know, back in the days of the 56K modems, and people were excited. If you
56K? Fancy pants.
Okay, 28 and
58? 28?
14.4.
14.4, baby.
What kind of weird caveman past were you living in?
It was AOL and they charged by the minute.
For me, it was Netcom.
Yeah, I had Netcom, too. Yeah, 50. Well, 56K modem was later on. I had a 28, so.
I had a 14. I think I had a 7.2 at some point.
That yeah, wonderful 28K modem.
I just know everyone's listening to me and thinks that we're spouting out random numbers for some reason.
14.4K. Per second.
So,
was it 14.4?
Yeah, 14.4 was the standard. 28.8 was if you were fancy pants. 32.0.
Holy cow,
was
wait.
Like the really cool kids.
Yeah. Mijo, I didn't realize this, but Sailor Moon aired at 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
I thought it was a morning show. No.
In Japan, it was prime time, I thought.
It's 7 o'clock. It was 7
it was
o'clock.
Super prime
it followed,
time.
Dude. It followed Goldfish Warning and came before Cutie Honey F.
Yeah, check when they air G Gundam.
When was it?
Miho had to watch the last episode of G Gundam over dinner with her family.
Right.
If I remember reading correctly, that the ratings for Sailor Moon were pretty high.
They were really, yeah, they were good.
It wasn't just the ratings, it was the merchandise.
Well, the merchandise, yeah.
Oh,
but in Japan, it was pretty big. Yeah, and when it came to America, the merchandise, oh my god.
But yeah, we had it on, you know, early afternoon, the after school hour, as opposed to, you know, I thought there was... I seriously thought it was a Saturday morning show for some reason, because when I was over in Japan, I remember watching Ashita no Nadja, because, I have to say this, Ashita no Nadja is a show that I watched because it was 7 a.m. in the mountains of Shimane, I was under a heated blanket, and I didn't want to move my hands out from under the blanket to touch the remote, and so I turned on the TV and went, "Mah! It is so cold in this room," and huddled back under the blankets and ended up watching a Magical Girl show for an hour.
What's going on over there?
It's Moonspeak.
Miho would like to point out that it wouldn't have been a Saturday morning cartoon, because you go to school on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They only recently made it for half days and or actually having Saturday off in Japanese schools. Forgot about that. Thanks, Miho.
So back to this whole thing with the internet age. I mean, what did... Did it kind of make much of an impact? Because I remember that one of the big things was there was at one point more websites devoted to Sailor Moon than to Mickey Mouse.
That's right.
Yes. And all of them were on GeoCities.
Yes.
What was it? Like 1 million, 1.5 million Sailor Moon?
Yeah.
And there was like 500,000 for Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
Well, this is the thing is that also back then we didn't have real search engines. We had directories. And I remember, if anybody remembers the Annapike.
Oh, I
the
remember
anime
Anna
Turnpike.
Oh my god, is it still around?
I think maybe.
I haven't been to Annapike in years.
I think the person who took over retired, so I don't know who's running it right now. It might
but yeah, I mean, that was back in the age where it was like, oh, let's find out someone what new web pages have been added to the directory.
That's right.
And so, you know, back in the day where it's like, oh, I like Tenchi Muyo, let's see who else likes Tenchi Muyo. And you would actually seek this stuff out instead of just going, yeah, let's Google it.
I think that's also like the real birth of the fan fictions right there.
Well, for anime fan fiction.
A lot of girls started doing fan fiction around when they got into Sailor Moon, right?
Yes.
That was a big catalyst.
Yes, it was.
There's Sailor Moon
at least,
and there's Rama One Half. Those are huge, you know, anime-related series that get a lot of fanfic.
Back in that day, those
back
days,
back in those days, yeah.
It was a more innocent time where you actually had to, you know, really, really search hard for your porn. I mean, what?
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Right.
No, I'm not.
They didn't have as much as, you know, security back then either.
Yeah.
Wow. John just did this most, like, awesome, yeah, I'm a badass head shake. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go into this then, and it's a pretty easy question to go around with it for everyone for this was. So we all watched Sailor Moon, and of course, everyone's got to have their favorite Sailor Scout. So which one was it for you guys?
Mars, because she doesn't take no shit from nobody.
Couldn't you just a BBB instead of saying the word shit? A BBB.
No, we need to have
a BBB.
It's just not the same without the editing force behind it.
Oh, yeah, the editing force. Right.
Make me work more, Kevin.
Hurry up, John.
Also, because she was hotter.
She was hotter?
What? I'm serious here.
Okay.
Doing your puns.
Yeah. What?
Oh!
No. I'm not
kidding. I got it. Fist bump.
I don't have puns.
Well, you just did one.
He always comes
I didn't
with
even
it.
Mean to. I'm sorry!
Wait. Did you just say your anaconda don't want none if you don't got puns, hun?
No. Who said that?
That's what I heard.
What does that have to do with anything?
What? Okay, John, what's yours?
It'd have to be Amy. I don't remember.
Is that Mercury?
That's Mercury.
Okay.
Amy,
yeah. I'm going to float out a lot of mixed names out there because I recently heard it by dubbed. And I didn't learn about the whole the original names.
Well, remember, Amy and Ray are correct. It's totally fine.
Yeah. But anyway,
I think those are the only ones that are the same, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Well,
no,
technically Serena, and if you don't want to.
No, Serena's not the same. Well, she's supposed to be Usagi
the princess
or Bunny. That's Serenity.
In Japanese, I think it's Princess Serena, isn't it?
Was it? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I didn't read the manga. It
okay.
is?
Okay.
Yeah, that's why it was such a big reveal in the Japanese version, except for, you know, what do you mean Serena's Princess Serena?
Yeah, and also the whole, what is it? It's Mamoru and Endymion versus Damien and Damien.
That's right.
It's like, what? Damien is Damien? No, as opposed to Mamoru is Endymion? Huh.
What do you mean Arukado's Arukado?
That's Dracula backwards.
Is that from Dawn of Sorrow?
Yeah.
Arikado?
Yes.
Yeah, I like Amy. I don't know. It's the same kind of thing. I'm like 13 years old. Got that weird attraction. Smart girls.
To cartoons.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm sure I can empathize with a lot of listeners.
We all have that phase. Moving on, Danny.
Which one did you find attractive, Danny?
Wow. I don't know if I want to be here anymore.
Okay, so for some backstory, I actually watched Sailor Moon and Ronin Warriors pretty much the same time.
Hmm.
So which Ronin Warrior did you find most attractive?
Ryo of Wildfire? That was my choice.
Screw you.
He got his man love from Saint Seiya.
I'm not knowing that. That's the one who is. Damn it. I've been saying this before.
Wait. When he hit your strong shield with his long, strong spear?
I have no idea. Right. No.
Wait, what?
Spears.
The unbreakable shield and the unbreakable
breaking
spear.
Breaking straight through
in
the
order
shield.
To break
is
it,
that Seiya?
Head in between. Do you think I'm joking?
No. That's why I'm laughing.
So, Danny.
But yeah, actually, I have to go with the Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Because I really what? Like lightning.
I like the power.
Yeah.
Lightning.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, and I'm pretty sure that's where my ponytail fetish started.
Oh. Interesting.
As we all look
we
at
all
Miho's
look
hair.
Saying, oh, she's a ponytail. Interesting.
As I told
wait,
you.
Wait, Danny, didn't you at one point have a ponytail? What is
were
this?
You, Danny, were, Danny, were you mulling for yourself?
No.
Danny, did you love yourself a lot?
The best love is the self-love. So says Danny.
So that's the last time I'd ever say anything like that in front of a recording device, because you guys suck.
I'm also going to be shallow and say I liked Saturn the most because she was the hottest.
Oh, my God. Ah, boys. Miho, who's your favorite?
This is the best show in a long time.
Miho, seriously, write it down and we'll report it, please. I want to know who your favorite character in Sailor Moon was.
Saturn was also badass. She did all the cool stuff. She was the Boba Fett of the series.
Wait, was she the one who did Star Gentle Uterus?
No. That's the star, damn it.
She
likes Sami because she's smart. Okay.
Who is?
Saturn Miho. Was always the one that would Miho show... Not Saturn. Yeah, Saturn.
Saturn's
was,
the
Saturn.
One who can destroy the
lolly?
Huh?
The lolly?
No, that's what's... That's
the... Saturn.
What
I realized you didn't know who it was.
Are you serious? No. The purple one.
That's Pluto.
Oh, Pluto! God damn
it! No,
Hold on. It's Saturn.
Hotaru, right? This is
Saturn.
This is Saturn.
Yeah. What are you talking
about? Picture. Is that an adult picture?
Yes.
Adult picture. Yeah, the adult picture of the adult Saturn, not the little kid. You jerks.
Right.
Not the friend of Chibi Usa. Not that one.
No.
Not the one that comes up a lot.
Wait, is she Saturn then?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Spoiler!
Oops.
Whatever. We're 15 years old. It's older than some of our listeners.
That's a good point. When you're that young,
you couldn't tell that the purple-haired one. The purple-haired one might have been connected somehow.
No, like Chibiusa is not purple.
Oh, no, Chibiusa is pink-haired.
Yeah, she's pink-haired. How does it become black all of a sudden?
No, that's Hotaru.
They're Loli.
Huh?
Loli.
Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. Lolly, lolly,
lolly, get your adverbs. Wait,
yeah, that's the thing. I thought adverbs was a dirty word.
Go back. Go show
me. Wait. I'm confused. Explain.
There's Hotaru, and then there's Chibiusa, or, what was her name in the dub?
I'm filtering it out right now. Yeah. Trying to forget.
Little girl.
Little girl. Little annoying girl with the ball that she can mind warp people.
What?
Yeah. When she first
mind warp.
What would she
actually?
First, because it's in the story, she brainwashes Serena's parents and saying, "Yeah, I'm your kid." Yeah.
According to this, she was the only person who kept her original name in all of its non-Englishness in the dub.
Yeah. Okay.
Her name was Hotaru.
Okay.
Hotaru Tomo. All
right. That one, not the other one.
Yeah. Both lollies, man.
Yeah, sure, man. All right, let's go straight into this.
He becomes a lolly into a baby.
Dude, now you're getting into territory I don't want to talk to you about.
Don't worry, I just realized he becomes an adult.
Wait, I just realized something.
What?
You were describing what happened in the second season, like second part of Sailor Moon, when they add the little girl into the family.
Yeah?
They did that in Buffy.
Did they? Awesome. Did they?
I don't know. I wish Sung was here to confirm.
Where is Sung?
Who's Sung?
Doesn't work.
Wait.
Damn.
Anyways, before it's just like what we did with the Evangelion episode. You know, I like to see these type of different things branch out, and I've known you guys through Cal Arimage Alpha, the anime club there for a long time, but I don't really know a lot of these different kind of lists for you guys. So, given that Sailor Moon is a pretty popular magical girl series, I would ask you guys also bring your top three magical girl anime series. We can do a countdown. Very brief one here. It's just three. So, why don't you start off, Dom? You have your number three?
My number three is a series that I've actually never seen, but I really love the toys from.
Go ahead.
It's Magical Girl Lyrical Nanoha. It's, as far as I know, it's a series of toys and CD singles, and I've never actually seen the show, because I don't care. But I really like the songs from it, and I really like the toys from it, and so... And I also am amused because the fact is that it originally started out as the side story to a porn game. And then went, hey, this is cool. Let's turn it into a series. Like, how long was it? It was like 5-10 years later. They're like, okay, let's turn this into a Magical Girl series. And then it totally took off in Japan. And there's toys everywhere. And those toys are awesome looking. You may have seen some of them on my shelf, come to think of it.
It is true.
They look very young.
Not the later ones. The one I got Danny is basically, what, the rollerblading one? Is that the one? Yeah. Like, she... I don't have no idea how old she is. Never mind.
Yeah, it's probably best not to.
It's best not to ask these things,
John,
really.
Number three, please.
All right, number three would be Devil Hunter Yoko.
Barely counts.
Yeah. Like, it was on that list. You looked up.
Does she put on something and then she becomes magical?
Yeah, she puts on these little hair... hairpins? No, she puts her hair through these little hair things. They're made out of jade, and that's where she gets her power from.
Yeah, so she counts as a magical girl.
Vaguely. The thing is that magical girl is it's a pretty specific genre in a lot of cases to some people, where it's usually aimed at girls in order to basically make girls feel better about themselves. It's a lot of the time it's an escapist fantasy, and there's no fighting involved whatsoever.
And if Karen was here, I'm sure she'd give us better examples of magical girls.
like Nurse Angel Ririka, and let's see, Miki Momo, Creamy Mommy, Miracle Girls. Miracle Girls, their only power is to teleport when they link fingers, isn't it?
Think about this when you say it. Creamy Mommy.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Yes.
That's not a porn series, though. Cream Lemon is.
It just sounds very
Lemon Angel,
very
was that porn, Miho? Lemon Angel?
Oh my god. Stop trying to chain off into porn now.
I know none of these titles.
Yes, probably for the best.
That's because I've been in this whole thing for a much longer time than you.
John, so... Devil Hunter Yoko.
Yeah, Devil Hunter Yoko. It was my first introduction of, I guess, well, debatable magical girl. But it was one of the ones where you could actually get that on a VHS tape. A very, what, sexualized version of it?
It was always sexualized. It was a bit softcore, man.
All right, there you go. So that's why I enjoyed it.
That's good to know. Okay, my number three magical girl's here. Bleach.
I don't know if that...
Danny, I am disqualifying you.
What?
Even Miho's looking at you strangely.
Oh, fine, fine.
She's our arbiter on this kind of thing.
It is true.
Considering that she's actually seen, what, Perusha? It was Perusha, yes.
They do have Bankais, but they are dead, so you can't really call them girls.
What are we talking about?
He's talking about banging Kai.
No, he's...
Where are your hands, John?
Magic Knight Rayo.
Yeah, that counts.
That does count.
It was a little...
Robots.
Because it is also little my borderline. Number three.
Nice.
Giant-ass robots, girls going to magical places, fighting things.
And a big giant plot spoiler at the end.
Yes, very big one.
And people named after cars.
Yeah.
I only like the first season, like the first half.
I don't even know if there's a second season.
What second season? I don't know what you're talking about.
The one where the sky continues to be all brown. Going on to number two.
No, I was actually just going to talk about the random Ghibli movies with pollution, actually.
No, not like that. Just the world is dark.
Your
number two?
Oh, right. You already explained your number three.
Oh, yeah.
My number two is something that you guys probably haven't seen called Daimaho Toge. It is an absolute parody series. Where she's a princess from a magical land come to learn the ways of Japan. But, you know, like, she's a princess from a magical land, and she does things like wrestle. As in, that's one of her magical things, is joint locks. When people mess with her, she will put them in submission holds. Her magical stick is called the Lyrical Tokarev. And when she transforms, she goes, Lyrical Tokarev, kill them all. Her little magical mascot was stolen from, like, this land where all of the cute little mascots are complete Yakuza badasses. And one half of it is voiced by Chiwa Saito. I think you know her.
Yeah.
And that half is the cute one. The other one is voiced by Nakata Joji. And always threatens to kill her behind her back.
Nice.
I think I've gotten Miho's interest in this series, actually, because they you know, when it's acting cute, it's one voice, sounding cute. Another time, it's Nakata Joji saying, I'm going to kill you. Smoking, usually. It's hilariously weird, and I'm sure hilariously weird is something that you would expect me to like, so there you go. Daimaho Toge. I will show some of it to you sometime. It is strange and disturbing.
Always good.
All right, John, you're more normal number two.
My number two, that's Sailor Moon. I mean, maybe you can't tell right now, but I've really only watched three Magical Girl series.
Thank God the list is top three.
Yes, I'm very happy
I'm actually going to go with Sailor Moon as number two as well, just because that was, in fact, like, what started me watching, you know,
little girls. My wife is in there somewhere.
They were my
whoa,
age.
Whoa.
Don't you remember his story from Fukuoka?
Yes.
Yes. But I thought you were referring to Danny claiming his wife is insane.
No.
Here's the thing.
She's not a woman.
When I was that age, when I was watching it, they were my age.
Does not
I know,
exist.
I know. So my wife is in there.
So do you have any pillows from the series?
No. What is it with you and pillows?
It is not me.
They do sell them.
Actually, I don't think they do.
They do. Like pillows?
Of the Sailor Moon stuff? I don't think so.
Not legally.
I'm sure I will go with that.
Press for that specific purpose.
Okay.
For Sailor Moon, beyond just being like the... this was actually the second. I like the actual introduction of someone who would, you know, gain special powers and was inept and actually using them. And I actually liked that Serena was whiny about it and it didn't really, you know, want to do it, but actually had enough.
You didn't see that much when you're, like, in American television, or American cartoons when you were a kid. Really gung-ho about everything. Because it was the 80s like that.
Yeah. I mean, if you got some powers, you knew how to use them, you you were just fighting stuff, you're okay with it, totally fine. But with Serena, she's like, you know, the first few fights, she's like running away, she's,
Well, she keeps running away through the whole series, so.
Well, she stumbles around.
She occasionally stops, turns around.
Yeah.
And then resumes running.
Yeah. But in the first few episodes, she has no idea what the hell she's supposed to do. She's got like a freaking cat.
Throw this thing at them.
Yeah, like a cat saying, "Use your tiara! Use my tiara! What the f- I can't use that!"
Man, there's a lot of cursing in this Sailor Moon.
Apparently, there, one of the attacks, one of the first attacks that she uses is that she screams at some of the, there weren't monsters at the time. The very first one, they were just humans who were like thugs.
Possessed?
Yeah. They were possessed or they were just plain thugs. And she like screams at some of them, kicks some of the other ones. She's just like, Sailor Moon kick! Well, like, sure. I can get behind that.
So here's something that's interesting, John. This was actually pointed out to me first by Neil Gaiman's con Mick Sandman. But when boys have fantasies about not belonging, they deal with their, normal life during the day, and then at some point they turn into a new identity, you know, the Superman kind of thing. Mm. And, you know, in that identity, they're like the best, they're the awesomest, etc. Well, in a lot of female fantasies, they don't belong because they don't belong. They're a princess from somewhere else, you know? And so Sailor Moon really feeds into that. They don't belong.
Yeah.
They're from space.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like, wow, I really am a princess? Wow! Oh, there's all these things I have to do. Yeah. Okay.
That was also introduction of a unique, well, to me.
It was a unique. It was a new perspective to us because it's like, oh yeah, I can be Batman, awesome. You know, like if I trade really hard, then I can be Bruce Wayne by day and Batman by night. As opposed to, oh, I'm really from space. That explains why I don't fit in.
They actually had like a whole story, backstory for all of it.
Yeah,
the whole
and,
world.
But yeah, so it's like it was an introduction. It was an introduction to a new way of looking at, you know, sort of the boy-oriented, I don't belong here fantasy.
And also the little drama bits for it were interesting to see. Because they weren't over-dramatic like, you know, soap operas and so forth. They were a comedic kind of, what is it, with Melvin trying to get it was Amy or
anything that moved?
Yeah, usually anything that moved.
Originally, it was with Serena. It was Melvin trying to get with Serena. Melvin's this, you know, geeky little guy with these swirly glasses.
Oh, yeah,
glasses.
That better introduce me to the idea of swirly glasses.
Yeah, swirly glasses is like, wow, that's an awesome idea. Really
wasn't
like
there an entire episode where he became a sex fiend that got cut from the American release?
Yes.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing it. So, like,
they kept a lot of things they wouldn't have been able to have drawn if it were an American series.
Yeah. I remember seeing a lot of episodes that people keep saying, yeah, it was originally cut. So I don't know. It must not have been cut for a long period of time before they put it back in. But there was a lot of fun, goofy stuff.
For me and Sailor Moon, actually, it actually introduced two things which are, you know, really important to me now. One is the idea of, you know, meeting the last boss, but having all of your friends killed in the process.
They always have that,
you know, you go on ahead, I'll stay behind and hold them off.
Yeah.
That was what introduced me to that, like...
Predator?
Sequence.
Not Sakura Taisen?
Do you really think I watched Predator when I was that young?
They wouldn't allow me.
I did.
Wow, Jesus.
Hey, you talked to my parents.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Predator. Yeah.
And the other thing that it introduced to me was the idea of the insert song that you only use once.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And that was, like, the coolest thing ever for me. Because, you know, you never hear it anywhere else because they're singing about freaking fight.
I'm just reminded of that basketball scene.
But yeah, I mean, you get it sometimes in American sports dramas, things like that. But that's mostly for, like, montages. Like, you know, you get Eye of the Tiger when he's training, but...
You're the best around! Nothing's ever gonna bring you down!
But yeah, you don't get it for, like, the last fight because, well, it's just generally not done. At least not here. But apparently they do it in Japan.
What about the natural? Well, that's not really an insert song. It's just an overture, right?
My number two is Jubei-chan, and I know it does not conform to most magical girl kind of ideas, but it is her transforming into a different person by wearing something. I like the show. It's not really anything that's that spectacular. It doesn't tell you much about anything.
I really like the music.
The music is fantastic.
The violin, yeah.
There's very little to actually enjoy from the series in terms of creativity, originality, any of that. But it was all—it was all just there. It was entertainment. That's really all it was. And Jubicha.
Speaking of things,
ninja.
Speaking of things that really weren't worth much, my number one is Akuzukin Cha Cha.
What? Akuzukin Cha Cha is fun.
It is fun, but it's
and
not worth
shallow.
It is shallow. It is so shallow. I actually wore out the fast forward button on my VCR every time she transforms, because that was added specifically to the anime. What?
Nothing. Fast forward, not rewind.
Yes, I wore out the fast forward button because that part is boring. It always took, like, I think I used to have it timed. Like, oh, 2 minutes and 13 seconds later, time to actually watch the rest of the show. Because the thing is that it was a show that honestly was better without the magical girl parts. Because it was about a little girl who wanted to be a wizard and was really bad at it. Like, she would just...
This is your number one?
What? This is my number one. It's so funny.
It is really funny.
It's really funny.
It's still not gotten a US release, right?
No, because the thing is that
it's
most
so
of
long,
the...
It's so long, right?
It's not only so long, but all of the humor is based on misunderstandings in Japanese and puns.
I'm just...
There's that pun again.
What? Japanese puns are a little weirder.
Yeah. I'm laughing at the fact you're like, my number one Magical Girl series would be better if it was Magical Girl. I like everything else about it. Magical Girl?
Well, seriously, the thing is that it was already a Magical Girl series because she was a wizard. But then for the anime part, they decided, hey, you know what would be great? If she turns into a princess and shoots arrows at things, as opposed to, you know, solving her problems with her wizard abilities.
Magic?
With her actual magic. But also, you know, like, the characters in Akuzukin Cha Cha were so great. Like, oh, what was the name of the teacher? He always looked like he was about to kick everyone's asses. He's like, ah, I love it when you summon a bull and make it chase me. What are you looking at me like that for? Is this turning into a catchphrase? Kevin, stop looking at me like that.
I'm just thinking about the idea of, oh, I love it when you give me a bull and you have it chase me around. Nothing. Go on, John. What, please?
Yes.
That's right. His name was Rascal Sensei. I had to look it up. I loved that guy.
Number one would be...
Because he's chased by bulls.
What? Princess Kutu?
That, oh, yeah.
That didn't come out till I was... 23 years old?
It was during my, I think, my senior year of college.
2004 or something like that?
2004.
Yeah.
2003, 2004, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I grew up listening to classical music, you know, and that one, like, they love to play the Nutcracker music.
Really? As opposed to Swan Lake?
Was it Swan Lake?
It was Swan Lake.
Swan Lake.
It was Swan Lake.
It's Swan Lake.
Okay.
The Nutcracker is about Christmas, John.
Yeah. Swan Lake, sorry.
Geese or ducks? I mean birds.
I remember because it's been quite a while since I've watched it, but the art for it was very nice. The storylines on it were interesting and they were very fantastic. They were very surreal. Like, the main character is not a person, it's actually just a duck. And the story is that you're actually in a storybook and there's the author is actually telling the story. And somehow sending the duck into this world, and he's trying to save the actual princess of this, storybook world. And this duck can somehow turn into a girl, go to the same class. And I forget how she changed. Remember?
Dude, don't look at me.
Okay. But, you know, every so often she would, like, something would happen. I think she got wet or something, and she would... maybe I'm thinking Rama One Half or something like that.
I hope you're thinking about Rama One Half.
Yeah, please.
Which I also liked,
which is totally not a magical girl
series. Magical girl series sometimes.
It's a magical guy series.
But the whole concept, sometimes being human, then turning into a duck and trying to get around and... get through any kind of trials as a duck, appealed to me. Totally blew up. Became very dark, if I remember correctly. People just started dying.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Isn't that part of Swan Lake?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that.
Okay.
On to you, Danny.
What about you, Danny? What are your number one?
My number one is not, in fact, Ninja Captor Zakuro.
It's not even a series. It's from a porn game I lent you.
Yeah.
I'm serious about this.
I know. Go on. Ask why I look at you that way.
You should be looking at Danny that way.
If it makes you feel any better, listeners, neither one of these two men look at any of the porn in the porn games.
Yeah, we actually skip it somewhat embarrassedly.
Spreadsheets in order to get. We usually turn away and look at the spreadsheets to figure out what our next turn is going to be.
Yeah.
And this is when I give them odd looks.
When you're not looking at the porn itself, you know.
And this is also when Miho's like, oh, show me the porn, show me the porn. I'm like, no.
She gives a normal look for me for doing that. You guys?
I don't know. My number one series is Half of How I Learned Japanese. Cardcaptor Sakura. Because back before they had English, or back before when Tokyo Pop had what?
It's a magical girl series?
Yes.
It's like the quintessential magical girl.
Not the quintessential magical girl series. It's a hybrid of Magical Girl and Monster of the Week. But beside the point,
actually, isn't a lot of magical girl stuff Monster of the Week as well?
That's hybridized. That's the thing.
Okay.
Because Sailor Moon is half Sentai basically. Magical girl stuff is things like Nurse Angel Ririka, SOS.
Yeah.
And Hime-chan no Ribbon.
Nurse Angel Ririka fights evil things too.
Sorry, Danny.
I think the original Japanese company actually released bilingual versions of their volumes.
Yeah,
GTO.
Yeah, Kodansha did that for a while.
Since GTO is not a magical girl series, we have to go with Cardcaptor Sakura. And also, since I bought one volume of that, went through that, realized, hey, I can almost understand this. Let me just try buying some more. And then that's pretty much how I started collecting manga. Like, right up there with the Rurouni Kenshin, which I bought pieces at a time whenever I can get my hands on it. And for the longest time, I was trying to figure out what the translation for hoi was, and I could never find anybody to tell me. Because it's not a real word.
Or oro?
Yes.
I know, I got what you're talking about.
Oro?
Yes. Hoi. I know.
Moving right along.
All right, my number one has already been taken by John. It's Princess Tutu. It's a very, very fun kind of series, and there's a lot of different things that they worked around with it. I also was a big fan of Cardcaptor Sakura as well, in terms of that magical girl series kind of thing.
It was such a waste of drawing budget, because they had a different costume every time, and they animated that same sequence
in a different costume every time. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. But, yeah, I enjoyed Princess Tutu. I think, I remember when it was first coming out, I was like, oh, one about ballet. And this is before, they even started subbing it or anything like that. It was just a lot of it was out raw. And I was like, well, I guess a series about ballet. I wish there was more, of a really good series about ice skating for some reason. But anyways, figure skating. Anyways, I enjoy Princess Tutu. I think it's pretty clever. I like a lot of the animation, the little details they put in the series. Even though also it goes through a lot of those same kind of subject of the week kind of things with the overarching storyline that eventually will conclude at the end. And yeah, so I think that pretty much wraps up our Sailor Moon episode, which also included a little dab at Magical Girl series.
A little bit.
And we're going to usually tell you, now. And so if you want to email us about anything, that we discussed in this show, any of your favorite Magical Girl series that we might have missed, anything we might have missed about the Sailor Moon topic that maybe you would want us to address later on in a mailbag segment, you can always email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com.
And before anybody mentions it, yes, I do know that Mizuki Nana also sings for Shugo Kara. I do own those songs, too.
Okay, and...
So don't email me about it. I know. She sings. It's good. Don't worry about it.
They'll still email you about it.
I know.
There will be one guy, and that guy will win a prize. Anyways, you can always find all of our older episodes at www.s-words-podcast.com. Don't forget there's also the forum where sometimes we get guys ask us some questions where we have a little bit of brief discussion about other things, and that's s-words-podcast.com/forum. Anyways, Dom, there's also one little tiny forum in your heart where people just pretty much leave you messages that start with @s_words.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the exchange diary. Sorry. Anyway, or the voice memo. Wait, that's Marmalade Boy.
Twitter.com/s_words. All right, that wraps up this episode. If you guys have anything you want to say in conclusion of this episode, go ahead. Otherwise, I'm just going to cut this off.
Sailor Moon!
Danny, you know you love it. Drill Master!
It is to my eternal pain that I introduced that to you too.
What, Drillmaster?
No.
I made that up.
You didn't introduce that to me, did you?
Chibi?
What? Oh, those two. Okay, yeah.
Hello and welcome to the S-Words Podcast.
She's gonna sneeze.
A roundtable sneeze cast. Hey, it's gone! Yay! You might have heard Miho somewhere in the background. She's real! Stop saying she's not.
Sorry!
What the hell? I was gonna say, there's people who are saying she's not her in front of me right now.